Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Welcome.
Nice. Do that. You want to make sure that the things catch all across the table?
I brought a chalkboard to rake it against.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, so I got a text. It said you had a story.
Dude, I didn't text you. I hang out.
Was it hangout? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I only sexted you, Tony.
Sorry.
So listen, we have specific communication methods for different intents.
The penis image wasn't there. I should have noticed.
Yeah, you should have. That should have been your first clue, because that's my contact picture in your phone. So I would have left on time to get here, but Melina's like, listen, the Walking Dead premiere is so good. Like, they got new writers, and the show's going in a new direction. Like, you just got to watch it.
So the one that just aired 2 days ago.
Yeah. The one where she's like, so it ends, and she's like, well, it was like, stay the TV show. And I'm like, what?
Huh?
And she's like, well, it's like all the same thing. Like, you don't really know what's going on. I'm like, no, this was not really super complicated.
There's nothing complicated about
that. No, it's really simple. So then we watch it, and she's like, so how good was that? I'm like, this is the same shit show that it's always been. No, it's so much better, so much different. I'm like, you just don't understand what I hate about the show to begin with. Like, the show, nobody makes any meaningful decisions in the show. Like, no one chooses anything worthwhile. The only thing that happens is random series of occurrences and then contrived drama. Like, that episode was seriously everybody sitting around thinking, man, it sucks to have to survive, but then them not actually surviving.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Though, it did have one of my favorite things in a long time that happened, and that's when...
45-minute musical montage?
Well, that and when the governor was Tyrese's spirit animal.
That's fair.
That was... I dug that. He's like, no, don't fuck this up. You need to live.
All right.
I just like that the rest of them were like, come on, come into the light. It's okay. It's okay.
It was...
And the governor was like, no, goddammit, you're not done yet. Don't puss out.
Mm. I just don't understand how the zombies sneak up on them! Like, constantly! Mm-hmm. And here's what confuses me even more. Okay, in a world where all the zombies are able to sneak up on everybody all the time, why he won't pay attention to the road? Like, when he's driving and he's just not even looking at it!
Yeah.
Like, seriously, half the people you've been surviving with have been taken by zombies who have snuck up on them!
Yep.
God, it drives me crazy! So I was trying to explain this to Melina. I'm like, when I watch this show, like my chest hurts because, like, the show is not tense. It's just anxiety because at any moment, for no reason, like, they're never safe.
Yeah.
But I feel like a reasonable adult, like, in a street with clear lines of sight should not have a zombie sneak up on them. Like, that to me is reasonable, but the mechanics of the show make that possible, and that drives me crazy, and I cannot watch the show.
So I wish they would get out of areas where there are woods everywhere. That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, just go to non-wooded places.
Yeah. What's the time span like on this? Because after a month or two, you should be able to have your defenses set up that you don't...
They keep moving around.
They keep having to move for various reasons.
Well, then, yeah, why not move?
At one point, they were holed up in a prison.
Which worked out pretty well.
That seems good.
Yeah, well, until somebody else was like, oh, we want in the prison.
Yeah, we want your prison.
We want your prison. So then they got attacked by someone who had a horde of zombies following them. So they basically busted down the fence and let the zombies in.
Well, that's self-defeating.
Also, prisons are pretty large. Want the prison. You should be able to house a couple hundred
people. Yeah, why not just say, hey.
I would say that most prisons probably
except the guy who was except the guy who was coming in was a dick.
Shoot him.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
Listen. 12 episodes later, you're like, why haven't they just shot this fucking dude yet?
Yep.
It's a zombie apocalypse. You're either useful or not.
Most of these people are not useful.
No.
It's just...
I have a feeling that, you know, like, there's that group of people that are surviving and doing well and, like, have found an island somewhere where there's no bodies. Nothing dead is going to be coming up on this island unless it dies while it's here, and then we just stake it in the head, and then it's fine because it's not going to come back.
And send it out to sea.
These are not those people.
This was the best thing about the prison, because everybody's room was a cell. So if you died in your sleep, or you were infected and you died, You were contained.
Except for everyone was always except contained. For the fact that they'd have people who were sick and possibly dying, and their cells are wide open.
Yeah.
What? This doesn't make any sense.
I feel like basic. Melina's like, well, you just don't understand the stress of the situation. Like, you'll make mistakes. I'll make mistakes, but not these mistakes. Like, these are not mistakes I make.
Or you make a mistake once.
Yeah, and then you learn from it. Like, hey, remember that time the dude who was with us died and then came back and almost ate our faces? I'm going to spend 30 extra seconds the rest of my life making sure that doesn't happen again.
That seems pretty easy.
This is why this show gets me. Ugh. All right, Tony, I'm done now. I had to get it out.
Well, no, and then there was Sonic.
Well, Sonic took forever with that.
Sonic took like 25 minutes to make our food and it was wrong.
Yeah. But that's, the whole time I was thinking Sonic. About The Walking Dead and I was like, God damn it.
Just fuming. Okay, there was something I was going to bring up, but it just escaped me, so fuck it.
Is it how I won the superpower discussion by saying that I've already got the best superpower? I'm a straight white male.
Yeah.
Like, I've already got that. No drawbacks.
That's true. All right, so next week we're going to talk about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Mm.
This week.
Gary Oldman does a different accent for like all his movies.
Reasonably.
All right.
Continue. If you were Gary Oldman, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. Well,
there you go.
He even did a different accent for that weird like Android phone commercial he did.
Yeah, the HTC.
Sure.
Because that's what the phone I've got, so that's why I know that.
Did you get it because of Gary Oldman?
No. I was getting it.
Do you tell yourself that at night to sleep, but also secretly
I'll tell you that that's why I got the phone. I was planning on getting the phone before he advertised, and then it was like locked in.
Yeah.
Just seals it.
One more reason.
You phoned a friend, and it was Gary Oldman.
It was Gary Oldman. It's like, hey, advertise this.
Yeah.
Everybody will understand why I can get this phone now. So we're talking about Mockingjay, movie 3 of 4 in Hunger Games.
It's what exciting. Happened to your voice there?
It's how excited I was to go see the movie, because I read the books.
Wasn't that a mistake?
Mm.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Remember when I told you don't read the books?
Yeah.
Like, this is the only instance in forever where I'm going to say, don't read the books, don't just do watch it. The movies.
Yep, that was
turns
a mistake.
Turns out.
So... I think when we last talked to you guys, had you guys not seen any of it?
We had not seen any of them.
Have you seen all 3 now? We've binge-watched them,
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, briefly, what'd you think of the first two?
You don't have to be brief.
So I think this world has huge world-building problems, and it bothers me to the core.
Yes.
The character development was kind of shitty, I guess, in the first two. It was better in the third, but
this is just a review of the recordings we did on the first two. So
I wouldn't recommend it to be watched. I mean, like the biggest problem I have is the world building. There's so many things with the technology that don't make sense. There's so many things with the politics of the world that don't make any sense. It just the model that they have isn't possible, and I don't like it.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, I mostly agree. I wasn't really, actually, I didn't really get into it until, like, the final 5 minutes of Catching Fire, when she wakes up on the plane, and Gale...
Haymitch,
and who's the...
Plutarch,
yeah. When they're all there, and it's just like, it was like a really big moment. Before that, I was just like, I was really confused by... the thought of these kids, like, being rounded up, and then, like, everyone's acting like it's such a big honor, and, like, everyone knows that this totally sucks, you know? Like, they're all gonna die, but they're like, oh, you get to ride in the train, and you get to eat whatever you want, and, Effie, especially in the first two, really confused me. Just the way, all the pomp, you know,
she was about very one-dimensional, she didn't...
I didn't
the
feel like that.
The second one,
was
better, but
I didn't feel like it was realistic for even all those rich people in the capital to act like the way they were acting about it. Like, it wasn't absolutely terrifying for these kids, and not at all an honor.
Yeah.
So until the very last few minutes of the second movie, I was kind of like tuned out.
I accept that it's an allegory for reality TV.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so that's exactly the excess of the capital.
That really is what they were going for.
But I felt like it was really forced. Like it was. It felt like a caricature of, way that I just could I couldn't connect with it. Like I couldn't.
It's a weird amalgam of the differences in social classes mm-hmm. in the U.S. and reality TV. Because, what's weird is, typically the lower classes would eat up the entertainment value of something like this just as a way to escape how terrible things are.
Right.
Where the upper class was treating this with a bunch of pomp and circumstance where they had these lavish parties all the time and everything was...
Well, it's a very Roman...
Abundant.
Right.
It's a very Roman
society.
Well,
even comparing it to the, because we talked about that, too. You know, you think about the Colosseum and, feeding people to lions and stuff like that, but...
You know, the good old days.
Yeah, right? Even then, I feel like they didn't treat the people they threw into the pit. Like, what an honor. Like, congratulations.
The thing that bothered me the most that I could not get past... was how massive the capital was in terms of population and how tiny these districts are. They're talking about how District 12 had 10,000 people or something like that.
I think they mentioned that.
But the capital was there was 100-something thousand people in the stadium one time, all from the capital. Now, whenever you build your pyramid scheme, the rich people are at the top, and that's the smallest portion.
We talked about this a lot.
This is inverted completely.
We talked about how the mechanics...
This doesn't work. Whenever you look at these massive dictatorships, like North Korea, there's one guy at the top living, rich.
And the movie doesn't do... It doesn't try to explain some of that the way the books do. I mean, they kind of touch on it that... This society has been set up this way for at least 75 years. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing at this point is those are the people that are still left alive in what was once a thriving district.
So here's what I don't understand. Why do they need so much goddamn coal?
I don't know.
They have, hydroelectric dams. They had a whole nuclear district.
And they wiped
them out.
But
they got rid of the nuclear district.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, but they just got rid of them.
Right.
Okay, let's just bomb them. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, I don't understand
why they... What are they doing with all this coal?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's probably more of just to keep them busy, mm-hmm. They were talking about increasing work hours and stuff like that, mandatory.
But that's what doesn't make sense to me. If you have a population of the capital that look like millions of people, and you have this district who's getting your coal, what do you... Are you just... Blasting them into diamonds?
I agree with what you're saying about the pyramid thing. But this hasn't been like this. Like he said, it's been 75 years, which in the long run,
but
it's not a terribly long time. So what you're seeing right now is that that's not going to work.
Well, it's third generation, and these generations are dying off.
Right.
I mean, they're clearly dying off.
But they still don't have a working class, is what I'm getting at. Who's
not in District 12?
Where?
Well, the different districts.
District
1 and 2, right?
3. District 3 was...
Yeah, it was one of the lower numbers.
Where was Rue from? Is that 8?
11.
Is it 11?
She's from 11.
Yeah.
That seemed to have a large group.
Yeah, but I thought that was
I felt the districts, the lower the number, I felt like that was closer to the capital, and I felt like the wealth increased as you went along.
And that's not... Because there's maps.
Is there?
Yeah. And that's not how it's laid out. It's actually regions of the U.S.
Okay.
And it's kind of set up in a spoke where the capital's in the middle.
In the center.
And it fans out mostly to the south.
Like Rome.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's even a vomitorium
mm-hmm.
in the capital. Just saying.
And it kind of all fans out mostly to the south.
So I kind of just accepted this and moved on with my life. Because I understood what she was going for with... The excess of the capital is bad, and the enslavement of the people in the districts is bad.
I think the biggest mistake was trying to explain. She tried to explain too much of it.
Yeah.
In both the book, and then they did let some of that carry over into the movies.
Well, they could have
not worked so hard to explain some of that, and it would have been just maybe we're only seeing a small portion of District 12.
That would have been better. Yeah. Or the other thing, they kept talking about sponsors. I don't know how many times they brought out how important it was to get sponsors, and they never fucking went into it. It was never...
It didn't feel like they played as big of a role yeah. as they set it up to.
Yeah, they did like, more in the books.
Yeah. It's more in the books.
Why bring it up so much in the movies, and then like, oh, you got a water spigot. All right.
Well, I didn't
feel
like...
It was a spile?
Whatever.
Alex.
Spile.
I feel like in the second... cut a hole in a tree. I feel like in the second movie result. I understood more because those Hunger Games were purely spite games, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But...
But, like, the normal games are, like, right, the nice
right,
games.
Right, those are yeah. the... But in the first movie, I definitely got the sense they were like, you gotta get sponsors, you gotta get a good rating, you know, you gotta go into it like this, you gotta get people to like you, and then
what is the
she
rating
got, like, medicine.
The rating?
It was for the sponsors.
I just assumed the capital was betting.
And, yeah, and yeah. it was for betting, yeah, purposes, like...
Yeah, but how does that benefit you? Like,
because... None of it benefits yeah. you. If, you're like, likely going
to
die.
But if I bet on you, I'm more likely to pay to, like, give you gifts right. during the games to make you win.
And if you're ranked higher, you've got better odds, naturally better odds, without getting gifts that you're going to survive.
Right, because they were obviously manipulating. They chose who was going to win.
Like, Rue's not going to get any sponsorships. Why would she? I mean,
she's black.
Nobody's...
Tony, Jesus.
But that was another weird thing is that
I just saw her as a child.
So the age gap
They're
for the children
kids.
Was huge, 12 to 18.
That was like, bothersome for me.
Can you like how many 12-year-olds would it take to take down one 18-year-old?
The age group of the kids who were put in the arena to fight to the death is what bothered you.
Well, because it was what 12 to 18.
12 to 18,
and just like the difference in a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old, it's like it's so it's
one of
impossible.
Them has gone through puberty. For example, you know, yeah. like,
like if they had even shifted it up slightly, I felt like it would have been more fair. But yes, of course, like in the grand scheme of things, they're just really just slaughtering groups of kids. But
well, not the 18-year-olds; those are adults.
Hashtag Ferguson.
I don't know what I was going to say.
I bet it wasn't anything interesting, Tony.
Probably not.
So here's my biggest problem with the movie that continues on into this one. So, like, it's weird to me that this is heralded as, like, a strong female lead.
Oh, Jesus.
Because she's, like, does nothing like that. Like, the most interesting things about the movie happen... away from her that she does not take part in.
Or that she's standing there and people are standing in the same room talking about her because they think she's important. And that is the character building.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of just
I
feels like
you
a...
I told you she would be awesome. Yeah. Look at her. Isn't she awesome? And she's just standing there like, dumb face.
Dumb face.
Oh my God, just dumb face the whole movie.
She's not a good, like, political... She's a figurehead in the third movie. Like, she did some stuff that was impressive, like with the archery, right? Like, that's supposed to be her big thing.
Mm-hmm.
She somehow managed to hit a fighter jet with an arrow.
Oh, that whole scene made me cringe, because then the jet
so
crashed into the hospital, and they didn't talk... They didn't mention to people that she shot the jet, and it crashed into the hospital, and that's what made it blow up. Like, yes, they were bombing it,
or that there was a 50 caliber machine gun that she could have hopped on right there. And
no,
done
the archery
much
thing is her thing. Like, leave her alone.
Plus, the machine gun's a target. A person with an arrow is not a bow
right.
and arrow is not a target.
Listen, it's ridiculous.
The whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, if you're that if you're that far into the movie, that's the least of the issues with it. Having read the books, one thing that they've consistently done is the movies have been better than the books. Consistently.
The books.
So what is it about the books you guys don't like?
Okay, so the books are first person from Katniss's perspective.
And Katniss is an idiot.
Katniss is dumb.
Like, as dumb as you think she is watching the movie? Like, there's a scene in the first movie where she's looking at that wall that will change scenery,
mm-hmm.
and she changes it to something that looks familiar to her. That's like 4 or 5 pages in the book of her staring at a wall and thinking about staring at a wall. Swear to God, this is not an exaggeration. It is just, it is excruciating as the walking in the Lord of the Rings is. It is just, it is just standing and staring for no reason.
And it's like, so Haymitch and PETA, like, have been cooking up plots for the whole first book. So, like, at the end of the first book, you have to figure, like, Katniss is like, oh, Haymitch and PETA are probably cooking something up again when she's like, sees them whispering their little whatevers or whatever they're doing. Nope. I don't know what they're doing. You are just a passenger on this train that is your life.
Like,
yeah, watching things happen.
That's, like in the, that's a good... Like in the movie, you actually got a sense that she caught on and was playing along. Never, I mean, you had to read into a lot to get to that point, even in the movie. But like in the book, it was just not there. She was clueless.
Because you hear her thoughts and she's like, I don't know what's going on.
I love the second movie. Remember who the real enemy is.
What? The capital, Katniss.
How did you not understand?
Stay on focus.
So many people are telling you the same thing. How do you not get what's happening?
Oh my god, she's just so thick.
So one of the other things they did differently, books to movie, especially in with the third book, is they. I don't think they ever really flat out told us that Cinna was dead. Cinna was missing, presumed dead. Where in this one they said, he's dead.
Well, she never explicitly says it. Katniss asks Effie,
well,
but she kind of goes, like, sad face.
The way it happens in the book is he actually leaves and then gets accosted basically out in the hall. In the movie, she sees him getting drug out and beat up on the way, which
right.
I think is more effective for what they're trying to do to mess with her. I think that's a better thing to fuck with somebody's head.
Oh, no. In that scene, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
She's trapped in the tube. Like, she can't go anywhere.
Yeah, and now we're going to throw you out to where people are going to kill you.
Right. Like,
in the book, there is no what happened to Cinna discussion that takes place.
Yeah, it's just never mentioned again. Effie is mentioned, but she's just, they don't know where she's at. In the books, she never shows up again.
I liked her coming back in the third movie.
I think it was a lot better the way they did it in the movie.
Completely changed that.
Well,
they needed a character that you liked.
I like Effie.
Well, and in the books, the way they did it was...
Be likable.
Yeah, the way they did it in the books was they brought back Cinna's crew. This crew, like three or four people.
The stylists.
And the stylists were the ones who showed up, and they're like, yeah, we don't know where Effie is, but we're here to help you because we had all of Cinna's plans and notes and everything. So we know exactly what he was planning, so here's what we're going to do for you. They circumvented that by saying, here, Cinna knew what was going on. He planned ahead for this. Here's the notebook. Like, that's fine. I'm fine with that. And now, because now we get Effie, and Effie's just... more interesting. We've seen her before, as opposed to these people that were always in the background before and never mattered. That are all of a sudden are just here. You have to think they're important now, for really no reason.
Right.
Well, she's really the only likable character other than Haymitch.
Yeah.
You don't like PETA?
No, PETA sucks. I don't like PETA.
I keep going back and forth with PETA.
I felt bad for PETA. After this one.
Yeah.
God damn, PETA choked the shit out of her. That was awesome.
That was kind of great.
Yeah.
That was really kind of great.
I even knew it was coming. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so sweet.
I didn't know he was going to attack her. When they're doing that, like, slow pan around, I was like, his face is going to get fucked up. Like, not even like, oh, this will heal. Like, you know, he's going to be, like, disfigured, like, horribly. But no, he was okay. And then, bam.
I mean, he was okay, except he had lost 100 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
a week.
You can gain weight back. Physically, he will, come back. I don't know. Mentally.
We'll have to wait and find out.
Can we talk about the technology of this world for a second?
It's confusing.
It's fucked up.
It's confusingly inconsistent.
The planes are fucked up. The weapons are fucked up. Like, everything is so weird and backwards. And there was one scene when they were going into District 13's, like, military headquarters room, whatever, right? The command room. And, like, the camera pans over real slowly and it shows, like, an old Cold War-style computer console with radar on it. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, sweet. This is going to be, like, old Cold War technology because they're behind in the times. And then that was the only time you ever saw that. Everything else after that was, like, magic LCD monitors. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were hoping for a Battlestar Galactica situation.
I was hoping, like, you know, super underdog, like working off old technology.
Yeah, because none of that matters.
You were hoping for an orbital drop. Fat Leodama.
And then they were talking about...
Oh, can you imagine Haymitch getting soft?
Oh, God.
And then coming back.
He drinks a lot, so he's probably always soft.
Oh, yeah. Now he has to be sober.
In my heart, Woody Harrelson's never sober.
they do some different stuff in the book with that, too. Like, at some point, she goes and raids buildings that she knows has booze in them. So she's like, he's terrible, but this is the only way he can function is drunk. So she goes and gets him booze. So just so that they can, until they can get him worked towards sober, they're like, we're gonna get you a stash of booze and ration it to you so you can be functioning and helpful. Otherwise, you are useless.
Slowly step it down like medication.
Yeah.
Like steroids.
What I wanted from the books that I never got was I wanted Haymitch to ride Finnick into battle with a trident.
Wait, what?
You know what I never got from the books? Spoiler. At no point in the movies do I expect Haymitch to ride Finnick into battle with a trident.
Though, have you heard? They're talking about the movie rights are such that they have rights to make movies beyond the books.
Oh.
And Suzanne Collins is collaborating with them to let them write prequel.
I would watch Haymitch's prequel.
Well, some of the speculation is Haymitch is a prequel, Finnick is a prequel, and they could even use the same actor for Finnick because supposedly his stuff didn't happen all that long before.
Yeah, just a couple of years.
They'd have to get somebody new to do Haymitch, but...
No.
So.
Matthew McConaughey, young Woody Harrelson.
All right.
So good lately.
God damn it.
Did you know that was improv?
Yeah, that was just him doing that.
Oh.
And then they just turned on the cameras and just went with it. Wolf of Wall Street. Never mind. If you're going to watch anything with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, watch True Detective because it's so goddamn good.
Yeah.
I feel like we had such an intense conversation after we watched this movie.
After this one?
Yeah. After Mockingjay.
Really?
We were just unhappy with the world and the people and technology.
Well, we were talking about, like...
If it would work. What parts of it would work.
You know, well, socioeconomic disparity and, like...
Like,
how could this happen? And
the argument everybody's sick of hearing out of me is that the third quarter quell thing was just dumb. Because the math of that is nearly impossible to work out. That they had one male and one female winner from
each district.
12 districts.
Oh, yeah.
That were all still alive.
It's nearly impossible because each district would have to rotate basically every year, both winning and sex.
Yes.
You would only have one district with an extra one person.
It especially, doesn't make any sense. And that
and
means
that,
that,
to be 12.
That would also mean that district
well, no,
one
there was,
and two.
There's another district that had an extra person because they volunteered.
Right. The girl.
Yeah.
The
so the math's
woman.
Already broken.
Yeah. Phoenix.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they didn't care about age. For the
yeah, they just had to be previous winners.
They just had to be previous,
oh, just
winners.
Previous winners.
Because that's why the old lady was in there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of older.
Yeah, there's some older players in that one. But that also means that District 1 and 2, because they were kind of put out as, oh, you can volunteer because District 1 and 2 does it all the time because they basically train these kids to compete. And they pick the best male and the best female and have them volunteer, and they're the ones that go in that year. Their plans must have sucked because they should have won
more than half the time.
Yeah,
at least.
Right.
At least.
Yeah.
Didn't they mention too that they often win? So wouldn't that make it impossible?
Yeah, they,
you'd think
they said that they often win, and it would make sense if you train somebody in survival and combat in these two districts.
And to
you
be a complete sociopath,
right?
Like,
you should have a winner. You shouldn't have had three winners from District 12.
Teach them to slaughter 12-year-olds as soon as the game starts.
Oh, that was.
Well, what I didn't like that all those big like aha moments. Like me and Alex called. Like, as soon as they were talking about, like, oh, we have to get rid of, like, what do we do about all these victors. Like, they're messing shit up, you know, they're giving the people hope. I was like, they're going to have them all go in the Hunger Games. And then, like, the very next scene, they're like, oh, guess what, guys?
And you know what? Cool. As sequels go, that was actually kind of a sequel kind of thing to do. So it was a little bit cheesy and a lot bullshit, which was really awesome coming out of the Capitol. But I don't know. I kind of
like
that.
I did like the scene where they were doing, like, the whole... the show beforehand, where, you know, they all come out on stage. Oh, yeah. And they're like, and like all of them in their own ways are trying to like manipulate the crowd, except Johanna. She's just like, that was her name, right? Johanna.
Yeah.
She was like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, fuck you guys. Like, fuck you.
Nothing came out of it. It had no consequences in the movie other than they turned the lights out and that scene ended.
Well, to me, they needed that because I was getting to the point where I was like, why are all these people just going along with it? Like, why are they just letting it happen? You know? And it showed some solidarity between the victors, you know?
Well, she's in on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, her job is to make sure Katniss doesn't get killed because she's too dumb to know the plan.
Right.
I guess it was the victors who were in on it, right? Because BT also does his little, mm-hmm. like, Jedi, like, mind tricks on the crowd. He's like... Well, you know, I don't even remember what he said, but it was awesome. Is
written by man, it can be unwritten by
right?
man.
Right, and everyone's yeah. like, oh, well, yeah, that, yeah. And then PETA comes, I didn't like when PETA came out and said that Katniss was pregnant, though.
I thought it was brilliant.
It was
really great.
I don't, it made me feel uncomfortable.
They appropriately.
Yes.
I find it hilarious that they didn't come out and say, oh, no, they gave me a pregnancy test and it wasn't true. They just went along with it. And made it look like she was being put in the games pregnant still.
Yeah, absolutely.
They
didn't
do they not have pregnancy tests in this fucking
They don't
future?
Have any way of knowing. Like, not a possible way.
They don't even know where babies come from.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
Like, we have stupid helicopter planes that wouldn't fly in reality, but we don't have a stick that you can pee on that changes color.
But they needed that to show that, not just for the victors, they had solidarity, but also that the general population of the Capitol also had some humanity in them, where they're like, you know, because they start saying, cancel the game.
It only takes 75 years of murdering 24 random people.
Yeah, you know. Sometimes
23, and 20... their children...
And I mean, only 22 in the last one.
If you're going to murder somebody, well, no. Murder somebody that hasn't really...
But they killed the Game Master.
Ooh.
23.
What?
What?
What are you looking at me for?
It's still 23.
And the new Game Master?
Plutarch?
Soon as he came out, I was like, oh, he's going to be on their side.
You called that, and I didn't get that.
Are you guys talking about this in the theater when this happens?
Yes.
Well,
We've never seen a movie together.
No, we watched the first two.
Oh, at home. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That was the second movie.
We were kind of talking.
All right.
We were talking in the theater, but I want to point it out.
It was mostly me going, I'm kind of scared of what's happening right now.
There was only like two other people in the theater with us. In total, I think there was like four
people.
Yeah, four people.
I kind of want to see...
2+2 math.
I kind of want to see if they're gonna go for the ending of the books.
Because I'm not going to spoil it for
you. Yeah, I won't spoil it for you guys or
Please
for anybody
don't.
That who might not have read
it. If we have to watch the fourth movie for this.
Katniss really is pregnant.
She has triplets.
It's Haymitch's kid.
I'm just kidding. It comes
possible
fetal
outcome.
alcohol syndrome because his sperm are drunk and they go in. They just stay drunk the whole 9 months. He's just so saturated.
He only sends in 24 sperm, and it's another Hunger Games.
That's the fourth movie. It's going to be animated. It's going to be glorious.
Just drunk sperm. Oh, kids are gross.
Now, there's some heinous shit that happens toward the end of the... Like, because I listen to the audiobooks, and... I'm like, am I really hearing this, that it's happening this way? Because it just, I mean, it's for everything.
You mean things that the Capitol does?
So
things that happen.
So there's a lot. There's a lot of, like, horrible things that happen. Like, even the first movie that you don't really get a good sense for in the movie because it's not described the same way as it is in the book. Like, at the end of the Hunger Games, like, the first one, they, like, release some hounds to, like, chase him up onto that cornucopia to force, mm-hmm. like, a confrontation. Well, the hounds that they release are like these genetically modified dogs that all look like the other contestants that are already dead. It's like they've got their faces.
Yeah, it's so it's like, so terrible. Like
this
book...
this is kind of horrifying.
Yeah. I don't even understand how that would
Why
work.
Why didn't they put that in the movie?
Because it would look terrible. Like
they tried to, because they do have the dogs in the movie. Am I misremembering?
Yeah, they do have the dogs, but they don't have the dogs. They don't really have the people's faces.
Because that sounds like a CGI nightmare, to be honest.
Well, and the dogs also move so fast in the movie that there really wasn't... Somebody would have had to say, hey, that looks like Rue. Hey, that looks... And it would It would have been bad. It would have been really bad.
The other weird thing is, in the movie, they don't talk about how they're genetically modified. They actually show them, like, coming up out of the ground. They're just, like, spawning them. Like, they're computer...
But if you look at them, they don't look like regular dogs. No. I mean, my assumption was that they were designed specifically for this purpose.
Yeah.
In some fashion.
Yeah, so they also have 3D holographic constructs that can do physical damage. Talking about oddities of technology. Because that's what those things were. Those things didn't just... Those weren't mechanical.
Did you guys cry out in despair at the worst part of the second movie? Okay, let me paint this scene for you.
There was no crying out. Ever.
So you're in this horrible fucking Hunger Games situation. Alright? You have been chased through the jungle by these giant fucking ape creatures. Okay? There has been fire. There has been lightning. Okay?
There's been acid fog.
Nope. Acid fog is the problem.
Yeah.
Katniss is on watch in this jungle that has tried to kill her like 8 times. The acid fog is coming at her. Everyone else is sleeping, and she's just watching it.
Yeah.
And at no point does she say, hey, you guys have me on watch looking for something weird.
That's weird.
That's weird, right? Like, in the jungle tried to kill you so many times?
That moment, she was seriously like, you know, she's just looking at it. She's like,
This is more of Katniss being an idiot.
What was funny is when I saw it moving, I think I said something like, that looks like mustard gas or something, because the way it's, like, falling downhill and moving. And then she reaches out and touches it with her hand.
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing?
And then she screams.
Yeah, I guess if you were reaching out to touch it, she obviously has some thought in her head, you know, like...
Yeah, when I touch this, maybe it'll feed me. What?
Like,
listen, fog is never good. It's just, does nothing good for you.
No, D&D has taught me that.
Well, it gives you concealment in D&D. Partial, at least.
Yeah.
Magical darkness.
I kind of want that.
In the books or the movies, the books also made up weird names for things that were just things.
They were just things.
Like they made a point, like, and later on they get to the point where it's like, no, some of the stuff was genetically modified, like the birds were genetically modified to do the things that they were doing, the tracker jackers were genetically modified. Instead of just saying terrible fucking wasps, we had to give them this stupid name, tracker jacker. And then
we had to have a hallucination about it.
The most egregious thing was in the third book.
Renesmee. Sorry, go ahead.
Propo.
Stop.
Propo. They never called it propaganda piece. Never. In the books, never referred to it as a propaganda piece.
Really?
They only ever referred to it as a propo in the books.
Don't they in the movie,
In the movie.
They make a point.
Plutarch says, we're making these propaganda films. I like to call them propos. It's like, you know what? That's a million times better than anything that just happened in the book.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it not to the book?
No.
At first I was really annoyed with the whole, like, Hollywood aspect of, like, these propaganda films and, like, how much attention they were paying to, like,
they were so
all this stuff.
Blissfully
but,
cheesy. But then you gotta
figure... But I kind of was like, yeah,
this is a society that's never had war propaganda. Right. There have been multiple generations that never had war propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't look at that and say, man, that's some patriotic chest-beating bullshit. And they're like, oh, that's kind of awesome.
Because she shot down that helicopter.
Yeah.
And then that hospital blew up. Unrelated. Overall, I actually like the movie.
The movies...
I did like the movie.
I enjoyed the movies. There are big problems with the world. But... if you can get past that,
If you can get past
I've stopped
world.
Worrying so much about the logistics yeah. of the world that does not make sense.
I watched the first movie and I had problems with the logistics of the world. Then I listened to the audiobooks and I was like, fuck it. Just I can either stop worrying about it and just see where the ride takes me, or why am I gonna subject myself to any more of this? I've
you
spent
and Jake,
hours.
Man.
Huh?
You and Jake. You never know where
you
it's
never
gonna
know
go.
Where it's gonna go. So I said, fuck it, I'm gonna just see where the ride takes me, and I'm glad that I continued watching the movies because the movies are superior to the books.
I'm definitely not gonna read the books now.
Don't. But there's no real good reason to. I mean, you'll get a first person story from moronic from the worst character in
so
there.
So you don't get any of like the other stuff you're getting in the movies? It's all Katniss's perspective in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, so every time they go to somebody else's perspective in the movie, it's a divergence from the storyline of the book.
Yeah.
Oh.
And in fact, they only put that shit in there. Like, in movie one, after Rue dies, like, she salutes the camera, and then it pans back to Rue's district, and, like, you can see the beginning of the unrest there. Yeah. Like, but you don't even find out that there's anything happening in the other districts until middle of book two.
Yeah.
Where, like, she's on the train again. I think this actually happened in the
yeah,
in
when
the
she
movie.
Goes
in the
movie. To the district, yeah, and they have to give their speech.
Yeah. Well, she sees some propaganda.
Well, she,
see,
well,
and
she sees
some news.
She sees the
shit.
Mockingjay symbol, like, in the tunnels and stuff,
and
also.
The President Snow also tells her that there's unrest.
Yeah.
Hey, bitch, knock it off.
I like the choice of Donald Sutherland as Snow.
He's creepy.
He's been consistently creepy.
Oh, yeah. The genetically modified rose thing was weird. How she went back to her house and all the flowers were dead except for that one rose he left there. How
that
did you genetically
I thought
modify?
It was fake.
That wasn't it.
No?
That wasn't what happened.
I thought there was
a
camera.
He keeps going back.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. He keeps going back and leaving a fresh one. That's supposed to be the implication. When you're in Katniss's head, she says he must be coming back to leave one every time he knows that I'm going to come back here and see this. So... And yeah, there's, I think, did they show that there's a camera there? I don't remember.
I thought there was an implication that it was some sort of, like,
it's
device.
A trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap. It's a trap. They want to know that she's still alive, and this is how they're going to prove it.
Right.
And Snow's just sadistic enough of an asshole to continue to show up every
Yeah, it's
going to
be real creepy in the next movie when they make out.
Spoiler.
There's been
I'm
some
excited
tension
now.
There.
Like a three-way.
They need to get
yeah. Rose, Donald Sutherland, Jennifer Lawrence, make us.
Well, the makeout's not
with plenty of stama.
It's PETA and Snow.
PETA.
PETA and Snow. No Jennifer Lawrence.
No, PETA and Gale.
Gale.
The other guy's name.
Gale.
That's what should happen.
Thor Jr.
Because she has been
she loses both of them.
PETA and Thor.
And then she gets Heimrich, I guess. I don't know.
That guy's
left.
Name is Haymitch.
Haymitch.
Finnick.
Finnick.
No, Finnick's got the other girl.
Or is that his sister?
They kiss heartily.
All right.
Yeah. I don't think that's his sister.
Probably not his sister, unless they're from the south.
Finnick's a whore. I don't know why I love this so much. I just imagine that, like, the people in the capital don't use him for sex. They just use him to do, like, trident stuff.
Poke something. Poke something using all 3 points.
Yeah. Pop this balloon.
Just pop it using the left one.
Yeah. That's why his score is so high. Like 9.8.
Here's two
trident
balloons.
Stuff.
Here's two balloons. Don't use the middle one to pop either one. Yeah.
Goes into a Walmart. This balloon's been stuck up in these rafters for weeks. Can you
nailed
get
it.
It down?
Yeah.
Capital equivalent.
Fucking hero.
You're welcome.
A big Pan Am flag.
I would have liked to know more of the secrets that he was talking about. Because, like, all he really talked about, I think, was the president killing people.
Yeah, he poisons people. And I had forgotten about him spitting blood into his champagne until he mentioned that he has sores in his mouth.
I was wondering what that was foreshadowing. I didn't know if it was, like...
Yeah, I was like, I need to remember this. And then... completely gone.
And in the book, she goes on and on and on about the smell of blood and roses. Like, over and over. Like, for the first 2.5 books.
Hey, man, really? Let me ask you a serious question. This is just more of a storytelling question. How many books have you read written by a woman, first person from a woman's perspective?
Three.
So I've read like three series.
The first person. It's the first person thing that
I know. It's not a lot of people do first person that way.
First person is tough to pull off because if the character is dumb, if you can't understand the motivations behind the person who's narrating the story, it's really hard to pull off.
That's why you don't like The Martian. Anyway, my point was going to be that when it's a female writer from a first person with a female protagonist or a female character, like, this must be just a thing with women in the way that they describe scenes, but, like, there's always, like, the smell of the scene is always so prevalent in the description.
Yeah,
first-person male writers, but male characters, like, so little of the description is smell, it's all visual.
Even in, Holden's been reading a series of books by a female writer with a male protagonist, mostly in first person. And I think it's actually in all first person now that I think about it. Some of the descriptions that a teenage guy is giving about the look of other dudes really makes me feel uncomfortable. I mean, it's like that is really creepy. Like, it's like
the
like
bulge in his pants was fucking hot. That's not how I went through high school.
That dude's hair was luxurious, and man, is he ripped! What?
I say that now.
Yeah, you say that now, but
I'm trying to like older books that I've read.
You're not a book reader.
No, but like the books that I've read,
first person is not common.
I don't know the author's gender in a lot of them. When I think about it,
I mean, when I think about books I know you've read, Augustine Burroughs, the majority of his books, but those are all generally memoirs, so it's not like
television fiction.
I said generally.
Yeah.
A majority of what he writes is
was a woman author, a woman first person, I think. Margaret Weiss, the Dragonlance books is omnipresent.
Omnipresent.
But that's as much Tracy Hickman as Margaret Weiss.
That's true.
What should Tracy Hickman mean?
I don't know.
Katie recorded an episode of something where, like, so she goes to Tracy Hickman's Killer Breakfast every year at Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
While she was talking about it, it was like, she, like, not even, like, his name was not even close. Like, it was like she was just not even close on his actual name. So, like, when I was editing, I overdubbed it, Tracy Hickman.
If I had the time and energy, I would do that every
day. She did that with something else too, and I was like, wah, wah,
wah, wah. I would do that with Daryl if I had the time and the energy to do it.
I did pull the Simpsons, Mr. Black.
Mr. Black.
That's good stuff.
I'm trying to think if I agree with that.
There have been discussions about the way female authors describe scenes versus the way male authors describe things.
I'm sure there have.
smell and color tend to show up more in female description.
Women see color better than men.
So some of Augustine Burroughs' stuff has extremely detailed descriptions of scenes.
Is it food?
He has
that's George R.
stylistic
God damn it.
Way of writing.
Do you know who Augustine Burroughs is? Alright, highly recommend his books.
Is it Edward Rice Burroughs' brother?
No.
Is he a Princess of Mars?
No.
Did you love John Carter as much as I did?
He is a gay guy.
So that's what I was going to bring up.
Do you think it's feminism versus masculinity, maybe?
Instead of
gender?
Well, that's what everything is.
Sex versus gender.
He is more effeminate. He's on the effeminate side of the spectrum.
I don't know if I've read enough books to make a comment on this.
I mean, I think it's more blurry than we're trying to...
No, my limited anecdotal evidence I'm pretty sure means this is fact.
Well, I'm trying to think. The other big, like, female writer I think I've read would be Anne Rice.
Her stuff's on first person, though, is it?
Well, that's what I'm trying to remember. I read The Witching Hour.
A big chunk of, if not all of, The Vampire Lestat is.
I think the
damn
Witching...
it, where's Melina?
Because I've read The Vampire
Lestat. She's actually
Lestat.
Read this shit.
I've actually read the first three of the
Tony,
Vampire
don't
Chronicles.
Tell me that.
I read them when I was in high school.
Did you read them for the porn?
No.
Is there porn in it?
No.
I just assume there's porn in it.
No.
I don't believe you.
That's Laurel K. Hamilton.
The one book I remember reading by her was called The Witching Hour, and it was first person. There was a lot of porn in it.
Knew it.
A lot. But now, I don't remember.
The Beauty series was BDSM porn, but I don't recall what the...
You were just too into the porn to recall what else was like. The flimsy story.
It was the story. It was all about the story.
Yeah.
I don't recall what the viewpoint was in that one.
Yeah, it's I can't been, either.
It's been 20 plus years since I read those.
You know, I've read a lot more books in school. I just can't remember them.
Holden Caulfield. First person. J.D. Salinger's the dude. No descriptions of smell in the book.
Not a lot of descriptions, period.
Great Gatsby. No descriptions of smell in the book. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Dude. First person, dude perspective.
George R. R. Martin. It's lots of descriptions of the way food smells.
Lots of description of
food in general.
It's just food. Lots of descriptions of food.
You have to when you read.
Do you think he had like a Game of Thrones open next to him?
When you read Game of Thrones, you
it's like watching the
you,
Food
you,
Network.
You understand. You understand. Like, so like. Some female authors have an affinity to romance, and some male authors have an affinity to war, and fat authors have an affinity to food. That's kind of where I'm going with this.
I knew where you were going with it.
And it's, Jesus, I'm listening to the third book right now, all 40 hours of it, and...
You should just read, look, you can read 15 it in 8 hours.
15 of it easily
has been food, description?
Been food descriptions.
Another 10 of it's been fucking, so...
Or dick. Just talking about dick in general. Just so much
and then 5 of it
dick
is both.
Discussion. Food and dick, yeah.
You're also the other way around. Dick and food.
You cut a hole in the burger.
What's really weird is they give these elaborate descriptions of things, and it's like, I don't give a fuck about some of the stuff you're talking about. But then they just gloss over things like the descriptions. He just names the different types of horses these guys are riding with no description as to what the differences are. But he will describe in detail the differences of the food that they're eating. It's like, what is going on? You mentioned at least four different types of horses.
Dies in 2 lines, but
fuck, we didn't have 8 paragraphs before talking about the dinner they're at.
God damn. So much food. I was reading comments about the Game of Thrones TV show, and they're talking about, oh, there's so much detail cut out of the TV to make the TV, because it's all the food descriptions. You don't have smell-o-vision. If you had smell-o-vision, you would be fine with all the descriptions they had. You could smell the blood and piss and pus that they keep talking about throughout, as well as the steak and horse meat and mushrooms and onions that they cook everything with.
It only takes like 3 seconds to pan across a table full of food, right? You know, come on.
I think the show's pretty well done.
Yeah, the show's great. I enjoy the show, and
I would
think,
not read the books.
I think the show has made much better decisions about some of the storytelling than the books have.
I cannot recommend people read the books.
They're a slog.
Now that you're 40 hours in, 80 hours in,
I am about 80 hours in. About 60 to go.
Yeah, I would just quit and read The Martian. Martian's only 10 hours. You'll be a happier person.
I kind of want to just make my way through it now. Just as a...
Because they're taking the Hobbits to Isengard?
Yeah. Guard. I want to get to the 5th one, but I guess we'll get that in April anyway.
5th one what?
Season/book.
Oh.
I haven't got to the
5th. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
I thought we were talking about like another Hobbit movie. I'm like, what?
Two more Hobbit movies. Bam!
What can we possibly... Why can there be 2 more movies?
Yeah,
he's already back in the Shire. Spoiler.
You're going to get the journey to the elves.
No. I don't need the Silmarillion.
We got a big part of it in the Hobbit.
Hey.
What?
But check yourself before you wreck yourself, Tony.
Hey. I get the Blu-rays of the theatrical release of Lord of the Rings for $15 on Amazon last week.
It distresses me that you're, like, bragging about buying physical media.
it's the cheapest way I could get it so that Holden could see it. Because nowhere is streaming it.
I think I own it. You can just have it.
I had the extended editions, but I can't find them anywhere. They're, like, missing.
We need to get a Blu-ray.
Did you get them to me?
Are they the really nice leather?
I know where your movies are.
Dick.
Listen, I had a basket at the old house where I'm like, if you loan me shit, take your shit away from me because I don't want it anymore.
I'm pretty sure you took it since it was the since you were in the new place.
Oh.
I think you still have my copy of Tron too.
Did you loan Melina Legend?
Yeah.
Dude, don't.
I'm honestly not worried about it. For $15, three movies on Blu-ray, I'm okay with that.
I didn't think you were actually worried about it. I was just making fun of the tracks. Plus, buying DVDs still.
Plus, I don't have the theatrical version. I don't have the theatrical release.
Tony, I see Home Alone on the top of this stack.
Yeah. That's our Christmas movie stack. It hasn't gotten put away.
Tony, it's February.
We put all the Christmas stuff away. The Christmas movies got forgotten. That's Tony. Winter. That's not Christmas. I saw you looking and scrutinizing the snowman. I wasn't judging anyone.
We just took our Christmas tree down.
It's, you know what? It's almost Valentine's Day, which means snow.
Wait, Easter?
That's Valentine's like March Day, or April, there is a lot of snow. Yeah,
in. Well, Mardi Gras is
end of March, early April.
This Tuesday.
Yeah, like 6 days coming from Tuesday. Now. So it's 46 days away. That math is easy.
I don't know anything. I
told you Mardi Gras had something to do with Easter.
I don't know anything.
Mardi Gras.
Like, this is your world.
Day is Mardi Gras before is Ash Wednesday. It's when Catholics get the ashes on their foreheads.
I remember that.
Listen,
day.
That's the beginning of Lent.
I used to be Catholic. I know that part.
40 days of Lent culminates in Easter.
I don't know any of this. Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. My world.
Okay, because you feed you fast starting on Ash Wednesday.
Right.
And so Mardi Gras is
fat,
literally translates to Fat Tuesday, and it's the day before a huge fast. So it's, we're going to eat all the food we've got in our pantry because we can't eat.
So Mardi Gras is actually Tuesday, not Saturday?
No.
Correct.
So
Mardi Gras is actually Tuesday.
Like it's the week before, but Fat Tuesday is the end of it.
Okay.
But Mardi Gras technically is a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mardi is Tuesday.
But here's the thing. I have to go to work on Tuesday, and I don't have to go to work on Saturday.
Sean's not going to be working on Tuesday.
That's probably everybody's.
I just want you to know that.
I know Sean's not going to be on work on Tuesday.
Sean's
See, but you talk to me about this. I don't know. Like, I never... I've no Catholics.
Hold on. How
like,
long have we lived in St. Louis? We have, like, the third biggest Mardi Gras celebration in the world.
How long have we...
2010.
Years. Until we recently started hanging out with you guys, we mostly just stayed in our house alone in the
dark. We're scared.
They do live very north.
That's not true.
I know. It's not. Luke lives in Florissant, so.
We.
Luke we said, like, during some of the riots, he's like, yeah, I can't go to work today. Because it's not safe to leave my home.
Really?
Yeah. He couldn't safely drive from his house to work.
He also works in a not great area.
If he's up in Florissant, then yeah, he would.
Well, he lives in Florissant and works in North City.
What time was he
so
working?
So that was just.
Does he work at night?
Business hours?
Oh, normal business hours. We drove through there a bunch.
I don't know. It's fine.
But what I'm saying is,
I'm scared.
I didn't grow up Catholic.
No.
Or around any of Catholics.
Your mom was
there
Catholic.
Wasn't a big Catholic
Your
population.
Mom was Catholic.
I just want you to. I'm just going to point that out.
Burn!
Sick yeah. mom Catholic burn.
Your mom was Catholic and
yeah,
all of her adopted
she didn't,
family.
Palm Sunday
she
burn.
Didn't all my adopted family I didn't meet till I was
I got it.
It's so good.
I got it.
It's so good. I gotta write that down, man. Post that to my hangout later.
But yeah, your mom did.
So I rely on you for this information. I don't know.
Well, I said I thought it had something to do
you
with
you.
You
knew nothing.
Okay, so the lesson is
we're all
that,
clear on what it is now.
Yeah, it's Fat Tuesday.
Do you know what Lent is?
I know what Fat Tuesday is.
It's when people start fasting, right?
Right. And they,
no,
the
it's
reason,
when fish fries start.
Yeah, it's when fish fries start.
That's the important thing.
I could give you about an hour long reason why all this is the way it is.
It's,
but
it's not a
not
good reason.
The reason it's a dumb the reason. Reason is fasting Wednesday and Fridays until Easter starting
only
next
Wednesday
week.
And Fridays?
No, just Wednesday. Just the one Wednesday.
Just the one
Wednesday.
And then
Fridays. But the fast has mutated over the years and is now, it's not really fasting so much as it is just no meat.
No meat. Well, see,
I thought you just gave up something.
Like, no, you give up something in general for Lent. You don't have to give up something. But on Fridays, you can't eat meat.
Right.
And the reason you can eat fish is because the early Jews were fishermen. So they're like, don't eat any other meat. Come on down to
you can't eat
Honest
Azim's
used fish emporium.
You can't eat things with hooves.
So you give up something in general every single day.
They can't eat pork in general anyway.
Well, I mean, on
But they eat cows.
Friday.
Cows have hooves, right?
Yeah, cows have hooves.
I'm talking about on Friday.
Yeah. All right. But so you give up something in general for every day, and then you can't eat meat on Friday?
Yeah.
It used to be that you couldn't eat meat throughout Lent. And then
it used to be that you actually had to fast.
And you actually had to fast on Fridays. But then they're like, that's really hard.
Well, that is really hard.
Numbers are down. Because people like to eat.
These are Catholics. So this is why church service is down to like 40 minutes now. Got shit to do. Get in, get out. Really, give your 10% and go. I am offending so many people. Probably not.
Yes, Katie, she'll tell you.
Katie's amazingly wrong about so much of it.
I know.
I've long professed that I'm a recovering Catholic. So
that's why you got to hook them when they're young. That's why Catholics get to drink wine at first grade, second grade. I can't remember.
Second grade.
Wine's disgusting. So
it was so bad.
I don't know how that's a hook.
Terrible.
Communion wine is pretty good. I did not like wine for a long time, but I love me some communion
wine. The only communion
wine.
I ever took, it wasn't real wine, it was grape juice.
That's pathetic. Yeah,
that's how a lot of churches do that now.
And the cracker was gross.
Yeah, the cracker's
not cracker.
Unleavened bread.
I think technically I wasn't supposed to be given
the cracker.
No, you
is
shouldn't
the worst.
Have been. If you have not been through the sacrament of communion, you should not have taken communion.
Nobody asked.
That's
though.
The rule.
Nobody asked me.
No, they don't ask.
The cracker is the worst when you have like cotton mouth. Because like stick it on your tongue and it's just spot welded there.
Yeah.
Like you're
it's just
stuck.
Not going anywhere, yeah.
And being an altar boy, that's the worst because you have to like maintain a straight face. Yeah, it's terrible. I had one kid pass out next to me. That was kind of fun. Wham!
Those altars are like stone.
Yeah.
Was it stage fright? Or?
No, it was... He got overheated. It was Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon mass after we had been like playing all day.
Drinking all day?
Yeah, at 13.
Yeah, Catholics.
So, we're up there, and it was at some point in the mass when we were kneeling. And so we were kneeling, and those... I mean, you're kneeling straight on the floor. Yeah, I know. And I look over, and he's doing one of these, just kind of wavering. It's like, dude, you all right? And he's just face first right into the floor. Am I supposed to help? What's going on? I was told to just
No, God will take care of him. It's fine. He's communing with the Lord.
Yeah. Hunger Games.
I'm trying to figure out how I feel about Katniss as
a person.
The character development is getting better, I think.
Well, they've only got one movie left, so if it's like, not good yet.
There were three books, and they turned the third book into two movies.
Honestly, I like Fennec more than anybody else, I think.
Fennec is an interesting... I mean, the thing is the characters around Katniss tend to be far more interesting than Katniss herself. I would have loved nothing better after seeing the first movie to see a movie of... Haymitch and Cinna, like just a series of vignettes of them working with other lottery
tributes.
I'm making out a little bit.
And a little bit. And then just like a buddy comedy where Haymitch just gets more and more drunk and Cinna gets more and more surly about him getting drunk till they're both just like, dude, let's do it. And then everybody's
happy. I would
watch
this so hard.
To completion.
But those...
To completion.
To completion.
But, yeah, some of the side characters are far more interesting than Katniss.
Well, it's like we mentioned, it's like things are happening around her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's like...
She's
frustrating
like a
me.
Puppet at this point.
Missed opportunity, Tony.
At the point where we are in the story... It's just obvious that she's a puppet, And we've kind of turned it into a meta thing where she's been a puppet for the author the whole time, and now the author is just like, fuck it, we're going to make her a puppet to all the other characters in the story, too.
Stephen King did the same thing in The Dark Tower.
I don't know that.
I mean, she is just a 16-year-old girl.
No, she's living it now, isn't she?
She was 16 when the movie started. She might be 17 now. I don't know if I'm just disgusted with how she's acting. But then I don't want her to be like a Mary Sue, you know, where she's like...
She is just a kid, right? If you think about it. But
so is PETA. PETA and her are the same age, and so is Gale. They're all peers in age and maturity.
Maturity.
I think when you live in that environment, you would have matured faster. You would have understood that you're being oppressed.
Well, yeah, and that is almost completely spelled out for Katniss, as her father died, and she had to, you know, her mom apparently became useless.
She's mature enough to raise her little sister.
That was established that she's supposed to be mature.
I don't remember from the movies, but in the movies, did they establish at all that she was taking extra votes so that they could get more food for the family?
No, they didn't do any of that.
Because that's in the books. So, like, one of the things they establish in the books is that you can add your name more times to the tribute pool to take extra rations.
They mentioned
so
that Katniss fleetingly.
Did that. So Katniss did that year over year so that she could make sure her family was fed, because the winters were brutal and they had no way to make money beyond the rations, because they didn't have a strapping male to go work, and mom was a basket case and couldn't do what she did, which was...
They didn't mention that Katniss was doing that. Katniss did tell Primrose not to take any extra food so she wouldn't get her name put in. So we did know that that was a thing. They never mentioned
that
Katniss...
I think that was the only time it was mentioned, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They never mentioned that Katniss was actually doing
that. And Gale said his name was in it 42 times.
But they never mentioned why.
But they didn't say why, yeah.
And that would be why. They could do...
I think Gale has like 8 brothers and sisters or some shit like that.
Yeah. And so I don't think Gale was taking the bullet. Gale was taking the bullet for all that so that they wouldn't have to get extra votes. He was taking all the extra votes so that they wouldn't have to. Because, like, the way they established it, this was his last time. So he was going to take as many extra votes as... Because they're only allowed so many. And this is how detailed it's spelled out. Like, they spell out all of this in detail when they really didn't need to. Which is the problem I had, because if you just gloss over it, then you don't scrutinize it. But he spells out in detail that he took all these extra votes and it's his last time, so that after this he's a working man and he can earn money working in the mines, but then it's going to be up to his younger brothers and sisters to get more rations if he can't make enough.
The critical coal mines?
Yeah.
Yeah, which
tobacco is. Mines.
But they
didn't
never
say
stop
coal.
It, God
it's
damn
the
it.
Tobacco mines.
No, it's coal.
They say coal.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why she's the girl
That's
on
why
fire.
She's on fire.
I was trying to explain to Alex, at the Super Bowl, Katy Perry came out in like a flaming dress,
mm-hmm.
and Lenny Kravitz was playing with her, like playing his guitar. I guess I should clarify. He was playing his guitar.
To completion.
No, she was wearing a flaming dress.
He was playing with her to completion.
Look, it's Katniss and Cinna.
I tried to find a clip of that, but Super Bowl and football Nazis. So... doesn't exist.
The NFL doesn't understand what licensing goal they have and just letting people use the word Super Bowl.
The NFL doesn't pay taxes and is a billion-dollar industry. So I actually kind of feel like they're doing okay.
It's weird that they're not paying taxes.
Why would it be weird?
Why do they get tax protection that way?
Because they're rich. The more money you make, the less taxes you have to pay. That's why Mitt Romney pays 15% and I pay
30%. Hey, the NFL is tax-free. Teams aren't.
I know that the teams aren't, but why is the NFL tax-free?
Because they're a, quote, nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
It's a public service. They own the monopoly on
that's
the broadcast.
That's hilarious, yeah.
It's all bullshit.
Oh, Tony, it's such bullshit. Like, I'm paying for a new stadium in our town, mm-hmm. even though we have a
We're
stadium.
Not going to get one.
I thought they voted that down.
No.
It's
that's happening.
They took
it's
a happening. Poll of St. Louis voters. They polled, like, 2,000 or 3,000 people. It was, like, 67% voted no. So they're doing something that nobody in St. Louis... one-third
really,
of St. Louis wants.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody in St. Louis really cares about the Rams.
They cared about the Rams when they were winning.
Actually,
this last season was the most interesting they've been.
There
are
football...
They didn't have a bad season, but they did some cool trick plays and stuff.
There are football
fans
in St. Louis.
But let's be honest. People in St. Louis really only care about the Cardinals and the Blues.
you know, around 2000, when we had the greatest show on turf,
it's not.
It was a different story. I know it's not 2000 anymore.
I'm not into football at all. Or
since how long it's been since the Rams were a good team.
Yeah.
I was in fifth grade.
Oh, Jesus. You're younger than I am. I was working.
It's funny how often we have this, like...
I know.
This
It's actually not funny.
What's funny... No. What's really funny is this was the conversation he and I used to have, and now I can sit back and go, yeah, this is awesome.
You're still 40. I don't know, like...
43.
There's still a 4 in front of your number.
Yeah.
Care how many years
fine.
After
you know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Tony, you just resigned yourself to it. It's fine.
Well, it's not like you can change math.
No, I'm still young at heart, Tony.
I still am, too.
It's not
put up with your shit.
Yeah, well, that does take a lot of energy. You'll get tired of that sooner or later.
I'm in it for the long haul now.
So, on the way here, Alec and Kay are like, we should convince Tony to move to Missouri. Mm. And I was like, this is your second time driving out to Tony's house? I've been podcasting at Tony's house since 2008.
Yeah.
It's not driving out here that bothers me. At all, I just think about...
It's driving with him.
Don't you work at the Botanical Gardens?
Yeah.
Isn't that like an awful commute?
No.
No?
It's easier for me to commute to the Botanical Garden than it would be for him.
It's really?
Far easier.
I would figure that the traffic flow coming from Illinois to Missouri...
It's not bad at all. There's a little bit of traffic crossing the bridge.
Right.
But once I get across the bridge, it's open season. I can go...
Tell me all the traffic on 270 is going north, and I would be going south. And all the traffic on 44 is going west, and I would be going east.
From our house, we wouldn't even take an interstate to get to the
I can't. The times that I have left my office and tried to go west, I run into gridlock every time.
I know. That's because you're going... Well, you are going the opposite direction.
I know. That's why it's awesome for me.
I don't understand what...
For you to commute back and forth... To the garden.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to leave at 5 o'clock to go to your house,
mm-hmm.
you're driving in bumper-to-bumper traffic the whole way.
What?
Yeah.
Traffic on 270 at night is going south.
I'm not talking about at night. I'm talking about from on going 44 out to your house.
Tony, I wouldn't take 44. I'd take Manchester. I already got this shit down to science, man.
That is not a good option.
Listen, you cruise off at Southwest. Mm. You cut over... Just to the point where Manchester gets back to two lanes in Maplewood there by that Jack.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, Tony.
I had to do that driving to your house because when
the highway was shut down. Yeah, that did suck. That really did suck.
Yeah, it did.
But we did go to El Scorcho a lot then.
Yes, we did. Got drunk.
Yeah, we got really drunk. Lost my car.
There have been times I probably should not have driven home.
Threw up at work.
those Sunday... Picture specials.
Oh man, we went to that Manson concert on Monday, and so she took the Metrolink down to the pageant, which
uh-huh.
was some god awful nightmare because she like doesn't know where she is ever. So I just assumed she would get lost on the way home, so I stayed up. So it was like 11:30, 11:45, and I'm playing Dragon Age or Dying Light or something, and like. So I see my brother's car drive down to the garage, and then he leaves, and then I don't hear anything for like 5 or 10 minutes. And I'm like, maybe that wasn't my brother's car.
That was a body drop.
Yeah. Then like I hear the door downstairs like slam open, and I hear slam closed, and I don't hear anything for like 10 minutes. It's like now it's midnight. So, and, like, I hear stumbling up the steps, and then, like, Lena comes in, she's, like, leaning against the wall, and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I got fucking drunk. And I'm like, all right. She's like, the concert was so good, okay? Like, he's changed this whole show. I mean, it's, like, all about the music now and not about the theatricality. All right. You should have gone. Like... You just don't even... Like, he changed his whole show. It's not about the music anymore. It's all about the music now. Not about the music at all. It's just, like, all about the music and not about the theatricality. I'm like, okay. All right, I'm going to take a shower. Okay? You should have gone. You're like, it wasn't about the theatricality anymore. It's about the music. So the third time, I was like, all right, fine. So then as soon as she stopped talking about it, I was like, was the show any different, though? She's like, oh, yeah, he's really high energy. And, like, it's all about the music now and not the theatricality. Oh. Well, like, was he higher energy than he was before? Yeah! Yeah!
God, I have a fun with drunk people.
Oh, God, I kept that going for, like, 15 minutes. And I'm like, man, why am I staying up for this?
This fucking with drunk people's fun. Maybe. But there's a limit to it.
I don't know, I should be loud and drunk, and I was like, I just want to go to bed. Like, I stayed.
You were trying to get to a wrestling situation like it at Archon.
No, I was not trying to get to a wrestling situation like at Archon. The situation I kind of wanted was, like, when she left the concert, for her to, like, text me and say, hey, Mike's bringing me home. You don't have to wait up in case I need you to come get me.
Well,
because then I would have gone to bed. That was the situation I really wanted. So I could go to sleep. Instead of suffering through Dragon Age.
Yeah, Julie's given up on waiting up for me ever again. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, Melina's like, when she gets lost, then she's like,
that's a different situation.
Panic situation.
I don't tend to get lost, so it's not really a problem. Kind of know my way around this area.
Well, only lived here for 30-something years. All right, Tony, I gotta go home.
Go.
Don't tell me what to do, Tony.
Fine.
Yeah, my real dad.